pensiero.
Jerry Bader Show, 1047. My wife buys most of the groceries in our house, including the pasta. I think I have seen this brand name before. In fact, I know I have. But if you had asked me to, if you had said Barilla and asked me what it was, I would not have remembered that it's a pasta brand. The president of Italy-based Barilla, the world's largest pasta producer, sparked a boycott of his famed firm Thursday after saying he would not show gay families in the firm's ads. I would never make a spot with a homosexual family, Guido Barilla said, on the Italy radio program La Zanzara, which translates as the mosquito. It just does. According to Italian news agency ANSA, not out of lack of respect, but because I do not see it like they do. My idea of family is a classic family where the woman has a fundamental role. ANSA reported that when the show's host noted that gays and lesbians eat pasta, Barilla responded, "That's fine. If they like our pasta and our communication, they can eat them. Otherwise, they can eat another pasta." Whoa. Barilla, who with his brothers Luca and Paolo represent the fourth generation running the family-owned firm founded in 1877, also said, "I respect everyone who does what they want to do without bothering others." He said he supported gay marriage, but not adoption in gay families. That's an interesting position. And this has resulted in the commensurate backlash and boycott and everything else. It is a particularly strong position to take. It is. And it seems to stir up globally an issue where he would not have had to gone there. What he's saying is he will not portray gays in their firm ads. Probably not while he's running the place. I've said this before. In the next 15 to 20 years, you are going to see, and there has been one already. You're going to see gay families become more common. How long it will take, though, I don't know. Because look at the backlash when there was a biracial couple in a Cheerios ad. All right, we don't have the Packers this week, so no Packer predictions. The friendly bet for charity that I have with listener Craig, I believe Craig won this week, so and I think it needed the tiebreaker to do it. So we're tied at one apiece. There is, however, a tremendously huge game. Saturday night, national television, ABC, Wisconsin versus Ohio State. This game likely dictates what the Badgers are going to do in the Big Ten this season. Joining us now to talk about it is managing editor of the Madtown Badgers blog and also writer for the Bleacher Report, friend of the show, Andy Coppins. Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Hey, not too bad. Happy Friday to you, Jerry.
All right. I'm going to ask the two questions that I asked other people earlier this week and answer them one at a time. One, can the Badgers win this game? Two, will they win this game?
Number one, yes, they can. Number two, I don't think so. As much as I would love to see it happen, there's just so many weapons that Ohio State can throw at you.
You're saying there's so many weapons Ohio State can throw at you, and you're not comfortable that the powerful running game, and that is, contrary to what some people wondered, that powerful running game is still what makes the Badgers' offense go. You just don't think it can keep up with the Buckeyes?
Well, it's a matter of, I'm looking at it this way. I think, you know, the power run game can and it will be the bread and butter for the Badgers. It has to be. However, it's the quick strike nature of that Ohio State offense. When you've watched them play before, that's been their key. And if the Badgers can't do anything about it, then that's where, you know, this whole, you know, keeping the offense off the field doesn't matter. And I think that could be the downfall for the Badgers.
So how do you see, if you're right and they lose this game, how do you see the rest of their season shaking out?
beyond that game, I think, you know, if you take a look at what's coming down the pipeline, it's a very manageable schedule coming up after this. You've got a bye week and then Northwestern. I think that's going to be the other key game for them. And then it's pretty clear sailing the rest of the way. Indiana and Illinois look good on offense, not good on defense. And, you know, you're also taking a look at Iowa in there as well. You know, so there are teams that are, the Badgers are better than on the rest of their schedule. It's just a matter of, this could be the one opportunity for them to control their own destiny. And I just don't know if they have enough. I think it's going to be a very close football game. My heart says it's going to be the Badgers. My head says no.
If the Badgers don't do it, then does Ohio State pretty much run the rest of their Big Ten schedule?
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at their schedule. They don't have Michigan State on there. They don't have a Nebraska. They, you know, Wisconsin and Ohio State both have a lot easier schedules this year than they have in the past two. So it's really about, you know, Ohio State kind of going through, and really maybe their only slip-up would be Penn State or Michigan State later on in their – or Michigan, excuse me, later in their schedule. But realistically, it's a very manageable schedule for both teams. So that's why I say this game is so important to kind of get that leg up, because you're talking about the other team. Whoever it is that wins this game, you know, they have to lose two games for that other team to climb over them, and that's a huge hurdle in the way both of their schedules set up.
Ohio State is a touchdown favorite. Do you think it's going to be in that neck of the woods, or will Ohio State be able to pull away?
I think it'll be in that neck of the woods. I've said by 4 points. I think, you know, 3-4, 3-7, I think will be the margin of victory either way. I think this game is so evenly matched. Even though the teams do things in very different ways, they want to accomplish the same goal. Run the ball well first, control the tempo of the game, and then play great defense. I think, you know, that's the one factor for me that I just don't know about Wisconsin right now, is if that defense can hold up. If it can, then you're looking at a team that's very capable of winning this football game.
Talking with Andy Coppins, managing editor of the Madtown Badgers and writes for the Bleacher Report. I want to throw a pro question by you. Have you followed this debate about Aaron Rodgers not being able to seal the deal in the fourth quarter like great quarterbacks are supposed to? Fair or unfair?
I think unfair. I think you have to put that more on the defense than anything else. If you take a look at the vast majority of games that, you know, he's gotten the team down, scored the winning drive, and then needed the defense to stop somebody, and the defense hasn't done that. For me, I think it's a very unfair statement. You know, he's won a championship. He's gotten to numerous playoff appearances. He's won numerous playoff games for me. I just don't see the criticism there.
All right, Andy Coppins, it should be a heck of a game Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
I took some criticism because I said I could see, I to a degree, agree with the criticism of Aaron Rodgers. However, I also said what Andy just said. How many times with 4 minutes left in the game has Aaron Rodgers scored a tie or go-ahead touchdown and the defense couldn't hold it? But when it comes down to that very last time with 2 minutes left or less than a minute left, and it's happened a couple of times now where he can't seal the deal. If it's unfair, I don't think it's entirely unfair. That's my position on that. This isn't really sports related, but it's kind of sports related. Republicans are going to take up a bill that will rewrite the process for forcing school districts to drop their Native American mascots. What they do is they shift the burden of proof as to whether something is racist. Native American spokespeople immediately called this racist. The measure would also void rulings against Boquonico High School and other school districts ordering them to drop their Indian team names. They would now be held to the new rules. And again, immediate cries of racism. Tribes have hailed the law. Republicans have groused about it. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said yesterday, issued a news release that the Assembly will soon consider the measure. Basically, the most significant shift would be the burden of proof from the school districts to those filing complaints. Instead of the district proving that their mascot isn't racist, the person complaining would have to prove that it is. isn't the burden of proof generally in our society on the accuser and not the accused? It is in a court of law. However you feel about Native American mascots, that seems fair to me. The bill would also require the hearings to be conducted by the Department of Administration, not the DPI. In another change, any complaints would have to be filed by school district residents equaling at least 10% of the district's student population. Right now, it takes one offended person to start this whole process. The process was rigged. They didn't want to just come out and ban it, so they did this kangaroo court. The reality is the process was set up that no district would, once a complaint was filed, would ever be able to keep their mascot. It was a rigged system. This turns it into where the complainers would have to actually make a case that the mascot is racist. That seems fair to me. 10:58, just 8 minutes to Rush. Have a lovely weekend, won't you?